Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium. And everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Podcast, episode 43. Big episode. Huge. Some might say the most pivotal. We have quite a few introductions here. Ken Jack, you're here.
Evans, I am here.
We also have guest this week, Coley, who was on our last pod. Coley's back. You know him from Barstool Sports, Mixtape, being a big Celtics fan, of course.
Yeah, I was saying to Robbie Fox earlier today, like, I hate being on this show, kind of, because I don't get to listen to it then.
That's, yeah, it's usually how, I mean, I would never listen to myself. But yes, we were originally going to have James, Mr. Sunday Movies, on. We got another comic book fan instead. Shout out to James. Various reasons, can't make it. He'll be on again soon. However, Coley joins us along with, people were asking, is he back? Will he be back?
I'm back. I am back. And you know what, Coley? I listen to the podcast anyway. I got to get up on my, like, you know, saying iconic so many times, just like all my verbal tics. I got to correct that. I'm constantly working. Guys, I have a big announcement to make. Had a baby. We had a baby. She's perfect. All the cliche things they say about having a child, how it, you know, changes your perspective. It's totally true. Unfortunate to say that, like, I'm a sucker for her now and she's beautiful and wonderful. And my wife's a champion for what she went through, but I'm excited because now I can review everything under the lens of being a dad. So I can now say things like, as a dad, I really felt for the Avengers in Infinity War. So I'm back on some sleep, and it's good to be here. And Lights, Camera, Podcast.
So here we have now co-host Trill Ballins, comma, dad.
I'll have to put that in my Twitter profile now, because that's always been the joke. It's like, dad, entrepreneur, whiskey lover, bourbon enthusiast, flight attendant. I don't know.
So obviously we're talking Avengers Infinity War. We're going to do a non-spoiler section. We're going to do a spoiler section. And then we're going to do an extra Avengers 4 spoilers section, because there are some things out there that you can speculate about Avengers 4. We don't want to piss anyone off. Don't want anyone to feel like the movie's ruined, because people who didn't look at any marketing or anything for Infinity War, I'm sure, were just even more blown away than the rest of us by that movie. And then we have our movie villain draft at the end. Very excited about this one. First up, though, news. Got to get into some news. Teen Titans Go, the cartoon DC movie with, like, Cyborg and Robin is out, or the new trailer is out, and it has Nick Cage Superman in it. Nick Cage is playing the cartoon Superman. He obviously was almost Superman, and there's a documentary, Superman Lives. I forget the exact title. It's a must-see documentary. But here's my question quick for us to answer. I feel like at this point, I kind of want to see an actual live-action Nick Cage movie. If he kind of kills this role in a movie that may be awful, would you maybe want to see a Nick Cage Superman role? Because I feel like people are kind of clamoring it for it after that documentary.
Yeah, this is not the way I want to see Nick Cage as Superman. Let's get an aged up Logan type Superman movie starring Nick Cage. Another question is, do you think Nick Cage knew he was playing Superman in this movie, or do you think he just went in and they gave him a sheet of lines and he just read off of them?
That,
yes. And like at this point, like I feel like that's what Nick Cage does. He's a volume shooter. We need to get him in a live action Superman movie, because that is his dream. That's what he's always wanted.
Yeah, before
he's also
he goes.
He's also wanted to be Elvis too, which is why he married Elvis's daughter very briefly. but he moved out of the Elvis phase, and now he's back on Superman.
Didn't he say he only has like 3 movies left he's going to make or something crazy yeah. like that?
He's like towards the end. He's going to retire soon.
He lost too much money.
Yeah, he keeps buying rare skulls and things of that nature. He can't. As long as he makes National Treasure 3, he can do whatever the hell else he wants to do.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes. Get in the fucking Book of Secrets. Like, that was the biggest tease. He got the Book of Secrets.
They set it up.
And they just never went in them.
Like, what's in the book?
Yes.
What's in the book?
Make sure you check page 42, and then they clearly check page 42, and then he talks to the president again at the end of the movie. He's like, I actually got some big-time thoughts on this, and then it's been like a decade.
It's like one of the first ever prequel sequels. Like, it just didn't make any sense to not finish that. Ken Jack, what about you? Nick Cage.
Let him do whatever he wants before he retires. He earned it. He's done so many shitty movies, and he's done so many good movies. Just let him do it. I don't care. Put him with amateur filmmakers on, like, B-level budget movies. Even if it looked like shit, I wouldn't care. He earned this.
He did. Yeah.
It's like Coley's saying. He's out. Somebody tricked him into buying the crystal skull from Indiana Jones 4 and said it was an actual alien crystal skull, and he paid, like, $3.6 million for it. And he's been trying to recoup those losses ever since. So let's get him in Book of Secrets, another sequel. Let's make him some money. I don't feel like him voicing Superman is it. He needs to actually be Superman. I'm all on board. Let's do this. Yeah. It'll be as successful as our Brendan Fraser in Star Wars Episode 9 movement, which didn't even get a fave from Rian Johnson. But he's not even directing the movie now. So it didn't
come on the pod, though. Come on the pod, Nick Cage. We'll discuss. But Teen Titans Go, that's coming out at some point this summer, I think, and we'll review it. And Nick Cage playing Superman in that movie. Also, I think the Deathstroke is being played by Will Arnett. It might not be, but it sounded like him, which is interesting because he also played Lego. It is. He played Lego Batman. All right, moving on. Power Rangers, acquired by Hasbro. The movie rights to Power Rangers are now with Hasbro. They want to build their cinematic universe. So that lends to this question. Do you want to see the Power Rangers cross over with the Transformers franchise?
I think you have to. I think you have that, and I think you have to. I think they actually have to pilot the Transformers somehow. They had to work that in. Like, just get the Red Ranger up in Megatron's guts. Just working the levers. Just
when you first said it, I was enraged by the thought, but the more the brains turned. Because like when you said Hasbro, I was like, are the Power Rangers going to play like Sorry? Like, or Trouble? Like, what does that even mean? But them with the Transformers, like, it turns out like the Megazord was a Transformer all along, which I guess technically he was, but he just wasn't saying much. Yeah, I'm all in. I'm as much butter as possible.
I was going to say it's the least ambitious crossover of all time.
The issue you get into is the Zords that the Power Rangers pilot are not sentient, whereas the Transformers are. And so you get this weird relationship where you put a Power Ranger inside of a Transformer and they would be like co-piloting the Transformer that can kind of think for itself. Look, I haven't fully fleshed this out. I don't know. I decided not to see that one based on the Court of Trill. So remember that. Anyway, I think you have to do this. I think you got to put the Power Rangers and the Transformers in the same movie. And I think you also got to throw the G.I. Joes in there somehow. Just fucking, it's going to make like $15 million. It's fine.
Let me set this up. So this is the potential. Think about this in the sense of Marvel. 10 years ago today, actually, I think Iron Man came out. Started out.
Wow.
And your third Avengers movie will include these characters. Power Rangers, Transformers, Monopoly, My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, Stretch Armstrong, Clue, and Battleship. I mean, that would be the worst movie ever, but I would go see that in a heartbeat. How just fucking stupid that could be. My Little Pony fighting alongside the Monopoly Man as they ride the back of Megatron or Optimus Prime as he fights alongside Megazord. I mean, that's just the potential there is huge.
This is just Ready Player One, too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Percival unleashes newest avatar, Mr. Moneybags himself, Uncle Penny Rich, the Monopoly Man. And then he unsheathed his lightsaber from his cane and his top hat became the DeLorean. And he started, I'm done. All right.
Ken Jack, you're a big proponent of the board games and like childhood games cinematic universe. Shout out to Truth or Dare, which we're reviewing in 2 weeks. But what do you think?
I'm more of a fan of childhood games. I would say like non-board and affiliated. So most of the board game movies have kind of sucked. And this is more of like a toy game, if that makes sense. I like movies with toys, but not of this nature. So I'm out on Power Rangers movie.
Yeah, I mean, I would like a good Power Rangers movie. The last one was actually not awful. It wasn't awful. It wasn't good. The end was ridiculous, but it was okay. Bryan Cranston was in it.
Bryan Cranston. Yeah. Elizabeth Banks led Power Rangers. Ambitious crossover.
Krispy Kreme was very front and center. And it's under the Krispy Kreme. They said it 30 times during the movie. So that's that. Last bit of news, all about The Rock. Two different Rock stories. One, he had to pull out of a movie that he's executive producer for, but a very similar type of person, a wrestler, got added on. The Jansen directed, excuse me, will be starring John Cena. So a little team up there, John Cena and The Rock. But the more important news is that The Rock, because The Rock is a genius, in his congratulations video to Infinity War, he kind of put down Rampage. He's like, oh, I'm getting my ass kicked right now. But he used that opportunity to thank or congratulate Infinity War by finding a way to talk about Chris Pratt in a movie with him. He put it on like this think board in his gym behind him, and he goes, I got some ideas. So some of the rumors are saying that Pratt could potentially be a villain in his movie Red Notice, which comes out in, I believe, 2020. So The Rock and Chris Pratt, that's a pretty big crossover. Do we like that concept? Do we want them in the same movie together? But I know we could comment on the John Cena thing, but the big news here is The Rock and Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I'm feeling like The Rock is kind of maybe feeling like he's the left out friend and everybody's making all the money from Infinity War and he didn't get a slice of that pie. Kind of thinking about it, he could have been Thanos. I mean, he has that screen presence. He's certainly big enough. So I'm kind of feeling like he's like just like one of those people that sees all their friends on vacation. And he didn't get to go to spring break this year, but he makes like an Instagram post. It's like at Brody, you know, 2018. He's like, bro, next year, we're going to kill it.
He's like the forgotten banana boat crew guy.
Yeah. Anytime you can make a joke, you got to go for it.
What? Like, I feel like The Rock would be primed because they're definitely going to make another Jurassic Park, right?
I feel like he would be a good person to just take a velociraptor's neck and then like
snap it.
Like, what was like Randy Orton's move?
The RKO it.
Yeah, he just like twisted a velociraptor, just RKO a velociraptor. Because I think that's the Fallen Kingdom, the Lost World 2 is going to be so bad that they're going to have to make the third one even more ridiculous. Like, it's got to be campy. And it's going to be like the Fast and the Furious, but it's going to be dinosaur movies.
Yeah, like he should just play The Rock in that movie. Like they're like Jeff Goldblum's like, well, we've run out of ideas. What if we just like send The Rock at these dinosaurs? And he's like in his like just like the I don't even know what they call it. Like, it's not underwear, but whatever the fuck, wrestling spandex. He's just in that and his shirt off the whole time, just like beating the shit out of dinosaurs. That's $3 million of dollars for anyone who wants it.
You know what I actually want? I actually want Dave Chappelle to be the villain of the third Jurassic Park movie, just because I want a scene where like Chris Pratt walks on him eating a Tyrannosaurus Rex egg and like a callback to his one of his skits.
Oh yeah. I completely forgot about that.
just cracking open this soft boiled egg that's like this T-Rex poking out. just eating this disgusting egg.
Oh, so this movie, The Jansen Directive, I looked up the screenwriter for it, and I found some of his highlights, so we know to look forward to this. He is the writer-producer for Dark Tower, the story writer for Transformers The Last Knight, the producer for King Arthur and Legend of the Sword, the writer for Divergent, the producer for Jonah Hex, and the writer for both Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. So this is going to fucking rule, guys. This movie, this scene is he's fucking primed for greatness.
Anything with The Rock in it, I'm fine.
Look, he's producing this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. I'm fine with it. I don't mean to seem like I'm hating on The Rock, but I feel like he should be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a big way. They're missing out.
So, Trill, you'll be in on this with me. With the Chris Pratt Rock movie, think about the Instagram hype machine that's going to come out of that between both of their accounts.
Yeah.
For their movies. That's going to start being promoted like now. They haven't started shooting yet. And it's probably not even still in conceptual design. Like, they are already going to start doing it. I mean, they are. This is like the first wave of the promotion for this movie by The Rock.
That's true.
It really is.
They're one step ahead, and I didn't even think about it. We're here talking about the concept. They've already hammered down the concept in one of those Instagram posts, The Rock posts, where there's like 82 people sitting around a table. He's like, yeah. Good vision meeting today. He's like, how do you get anything done? There's like 400 people in this room.
One day The Rock Corp and like A-Rod Corp will merge and like make like an actually legitimate corporation of people adjusting their cufflinks and taking pictures of themselves, like writing on a blank piece of paper.
The most tailored vests in the business.
That is a good point, though. We are probably fools for thinking that this is something they have to quote unquote discuss. Like, you know, this is already down the road. This like we've been completely, you know, duped on this one just to get us hyped up. So that's news.
Coley was about to say something, though.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I feel like The Rock's Google calendar is probably like jam packed with millions of things. And A-Rod's is just like sign some baseballs.
A-Rod goes through old Beckett issues to like track the value of his like 1997 Texas Rangers baseball card or Seattle Mariners or whoever he was with at that point.
I have to say the funniest A-Rod story is when he went to the bathroom J-Lo and said like, what if I kissed you right now? He texted her that or whatever. The funniest thing I've ever read.
He was like, is this a date? I'm unsure if this is a date.
Oh, I also got to add, The Rock also posted a picture. He also had a baby this week. Things me and him have in common. We both had babies. And the picture, the skin to skin we got, we're both very similar.
Oh, yep. And my birthday on Friday. So it's like all comes full circle. Yeah. The Rock's baby, your baby, me.
It's revolving around your birthday. Like you're a planet to us. And
you and The Rock may have nutted at the same time.
Dude, that's actually a good concept to think about. Like, do you think you've ever at the same like who's the biggest celebrity you've ever like simultaneously?
Just saying.
With my look, it's like fucking Ted Danson.
Oh man.
I just imagine like Neil deGrasse Tyson like talking about this on Cosmos or whatever. Like there are 300 million people in the United States and the odds of nutting at the exact same time as an international celebrity are very, very high.
Running right into the Infinity War view.
The Rock actually texted me. It was like he did the chap smiley face on YouTube.
All right. Okay, I'm done. That's news. Let's get into it. Avengers Infinity War. First off, holy shit to everything. The experience, how packed the theaters were, how much money this movie has made. This movie has made almost $1 billion already. I mean, that's insanity. I mean, it's obviously going to make one of the top five highest grossing movies of all time. That's obvious at this point. It's already the biggest weekend ever domestically. It's made worldwide $808 million and domestically $305 million. The biggest opening of all time, the biggest Monday of all time. Just craziness. It was also, at least to me, and I think to all of us, though we'll see. Trill, we haven't discussed it much. It's a fucking amazing movie, and our listeners as well. I gave this movie a 93. Quickly, without going into spoilers, I thought what they did and how they balanced the movie, the Russo brothers, massive cinematic achievement. And that's not, you know, I'm a Marvel fan. I like these movies. This is the first time ever to have a cast like this. And what they achieved is unbelievable. You can't do a better job than that. You really can't. It should not have worked. This movie should not have worked. My expectations were lower than they probably, you know, should have been based on like how much I like these movies. However, I was very much anticipating this movie and it exceeded my expectations. I gave it a 93 out of 100. It's my favorite Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. I can't wait to get into this. It's crazy. Ken Jack, you had a very similar take as well.
Yeah, I ended up on a 94 after my second watch. There's definitely a tremendous cinematic achievement. And the obvious concerns we came into the movie with is how are they going to split the time between the heroes and how that would affect the pacing of the movie. And the most pleasant surprise to us is that no one got like shortchanged whatsoever. and everyone got pretty close to like an equitable share of spotlight, which in my brain is actually impossible. And like a tremendous, like you were saying, tremendous cinematic achievement. So it's such an amazing theater experience too. So if you haven't had a chance to see it yet, definitely see it like within the month while there's still a shit ton of people going to see it. Because it makes it that much better.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And we'll get into that, like what some of the best moments were. But again, piggybacking off of, you know, being a cinematic achievement, I think even if you didn't love the movie, even if you thought there were too many characters, you have to commend what they did. Like, even if it was too much for you, like, there's no other way to do it. Trey Bonds, what did you give it? And what were your initial thoughts?
So initially, when I left the theater, I gave it a 90. And I still said it was good, but I said it was too long. I thought about it over the weekend as a dad, and I now give this movie a 93. To echo some of what you were saying, Jeff, it had to be long. It had to be this long because there was so much in it. It was just a blast. I mean, I do not often want to go back to a theater to see a movie, and I found myself wanting to do that this weekend, just leaving the hospital and saying, I'm sorry, I can't raise this kid. I'm just going to go see Infinity War again. Now, I couldn't do that, but I do actually want to see this movie again in theaters, which is like something I don't say often. I said for Blade Runner, but I don't say it for every movie, obviously. And so I really, really enjoyed it. It left me wishing they would have, you know, they filmed simultaneously with Avengers 4. It left me wishing they would release that this year so we don't have to wait an entire full calendar year for it. So awesome movie. Maybe the best comic book movie ever with The Dark Knight. I haven't fully decided yet. That is something that does not come lightly to replace that crown, but I love this one.
Yeah, it's great. Coley, score, thoughts. If you don't have to give a score, you don't have to. But
I'm giving a score.
Ooh.
Although Robbie Fox, I thought you guys kind of just not winged it, but I didn't know there was like an algorithm to your guys' scores.
Oh, depends who you're asking. I follow it a lot closer than I think these guys. Trill's very fives and tens. So 93, that's not
that's
always
what the difference.
Yeah, I don't want to give a score that ends in a five, but I'm going to give it a 96 strictly because of that. Before I was at Barstool, I was trapped as a security guard. In the city of Boston, which if anyone hasn't worked security guard, which is the vast majority of the world, you basically just feel like you're being put in timeout and then given like a very small amount of money for your troubles. And there would be nights when I was at like Fenway Park, the only person in the building, and I would just watch thousands of hours of like theories about this movie. Like this was like 8 years ago. Like we were in phase one. And I was like, I need to know where this is fucking going. Like, I've put more time into this than probably the Russo brothers. and they crushed it. Like you guys were saying, there were no like transition scenes. There was no time wasted. Like everything that was said and done served a purpose in this movie. And it also felt like there were just 9 scenes in this movie. Like they were like, all right, here's a long scene. Here's another long scene. Here's another long. It was, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it. I do believe it is the best comic book movie of all time. Certainly number one in Marvel. And it also killed a guy. So there's that. Like not in the movie, but like in real life, a guy died.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
wait, why am I laughing?
Blown away. Yeah, you shouldn't laugh. Yeah,
sorry.
The gravity of this movie, the ending, which we'll get to, is insane. Last non-spoiler, because I want to give a little nugget if you haven't seen it yet, though I think most of our listeners have seen this. Thanos, Josh Brolin, where do you rank him in MCU villains? I think he's the best MCU villain of all time. Killmonger was for a very short amount of time, but man, first of all, it looked great. I know the concerns were he might have looked terrible. Like, is there in some of the trailers early on, he looked a little weird, a little too CGI-ish. And there were, I think, 2 scenes in this movie that I was like, ooh, that's a little off. But everything else, damn, it almost looked like it was a suit. It looked completely real. And Brolin, the mocap and the way he conveyed emotion, he fucking killed it. I mean, that was a terrifying villain, like for sure, which Marvel always lacks. So where do you guys have Thanos ranked among MCU villain?
He's got to be number one. I mean, this is the first Marvel movie I can remember where it actually felt like there were stakes at the table and it wasn't going to be resolved by the end of the movie. Now, of course, we know that because we know there's an Avengers 4 coming and it's a two-part movie, but he actually felt as powerful and the situation seemed as hopeless as all the heroes were making it out to be, which is something you don't always get with a comic book movie. You always get that big talk, but in the end, like, think about Justice League. Like, they felt like the situation was hopeless, but in the end, they just like took 3 minutes to beat Steppenwolf's ass. And here in Infinity War, you know, whatever happened, happened. We'll go into the spoiler section, but Thanos felt like he was actually as powerful as he was. Brolin played it off great. I think one thing you're finding with the Marvel villains now is they're all, maybe some of them are weak or whatever, but it's all I asked for. They at least have some motivation to be evil. There's at least something maybe that someone can sympathize with or understand why they're trying to be evil. And somebody's like, oh, that's a rational thought. Not always, I mean, for most people, but at least going back to Justice League, Steppenwolf just wanted to kill people. Thanos had an end goal that was pretty bad, but at least he had like drive for wanting to do it. Which, look, I'm not justifying collecting 6 stones and placing them into a gold glove and then doing whatever in order to achieve the ends of your dreams. You know, good villain.
That's good. Glad you put that aside. Coley, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, number one, I don't even, because it was Loki up until this, I guess Killmonger. That was a conversation. And yeah, I mean, he's always been looming. And I thought, like, it for the people who were like, he needed his own standalone movie before this, like, shut up. Just shut up. It was all handled perfectly well within this movie. So just shut up.
Well, this was pretty much his movie, I felt right. Like. And that was what was said. I think the Russo brothers said it themselves. And even though he didn't get enough, he didn't get screen time like Iron Man would in an Iron Man movie. All the other characters and their narratives were woven around his, which made it his movie. And that's why it was like somewhat unique. And that I don't really remember. And that's why I kind of compare it to Dark Knight, because that almost felt like Joker's movie to some extent as well.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I totally agree with you there.
All right, lastly.
Yeah, I have a number one too. It's slightly ahead of Killmonger. And I think a part of the reason of that is sort of what Trill was saying, in that he feels really invincible. So with Killmonger, you always kind of felt at the end of it like, yeah, well, Thor can just come and fucking zap him. It's Killmonger, and he's dead right there. Like, if any other Avenger gets involved, Killmonger's dead. But with Thanos, you really get that sense of hopelessness throughout it, where you're like, wow, he's fucking everybody up. Like, he's really fucking everyone up. And I also think anybody who has seen Guardians 1 and 2, you have more than enough setup as is to understand Thanos and like his backstory and everything. And half the people that are complaining about it are saying like, well, he doesn't have enough background, he doesn't have anything. Like, well, you just didn't see Guardians 1 and 2. And even if you didn't see them, I still think he has a significant amount of setup and character development throughout the movie, which is incredible. And I think a lot of that has to do with what Trill said also before, where everything was kind of woven around him. And that it's a good comparison, I think you're saying, in Dark Knight, because it was almost as if Batman was catching up to Joker the entire time. Like, it was him just like playing like at his, like snipping at his heels. And that's what every single character in this movie was doing, was nipping at, trying to catch up to Thanos. So like, everybody is involved with him. So you do get that tremendous amount of development. And he's more three-dimensional than people might think for like a world-ending villain. And we'll get in more into that in the spoiler section, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing, last point here, is that look at three of the last few Marvel villains that have really worked. Vulture, you understood his theories or his reasons to be a villain, his family. Then you look at Killmonger, he had very interesting reasons for why he was doing what he was doing. Well, you know, maybe you didn't agree with them, you could completely see why. And now Thanos, you can't totally see why, because it's ridiculous, but he is a madman, and you can see how committed he is to being that. That's why you can connect and it makes sense. And I hope the MCU just keeps building off that. You need those, and it's hard to do with so many movies, but definitely something to look at. I gave it a 93. Kenjack gave it a 94. Trill gave it a 93. Coley gave it a 96. It's an 84% of Rotten Tomatoes, which is 75 out of 100 basically from the critics. Some critics were, I mean, just weird reviews, just some strange things. The big one that stuck out. Yep, the New Yorker, Richard Brody. Here's his little comment. Insubstantiality of the film isn't due to the infinite yet flimsy malleability of CGI gimmickry, but instead to the dispersion of its drama throughout the many cinematic installations set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, I'm just going to splice in some diarrhea sound effects right here. I mean, just
it's a comic book movie, you know,
dude. Like, it's like, what the fuck, man? Like, I mean,
I mean, let's not overcomplicate this more than it actually is. Like, you know, we judge on a curve. I'm not saying that 93 I give it makes it a better movie than something else. Well, actually, I mean, it should, but for a comic book movie.
There's another New Yorker review. I've never seen this New Yorker review. Listen to this one.
The second one, yeah.
This is Anthony Lane. At stake, as ever, is the fate of the universe. Why must it always be the universe? What's wrong with the fate of Hackensack? Doesn't anyone care what happens to South Dakota or Denmark or Peru? This is not the movie you fucking say that with. Well, yeah, like, I mean, have some fucking scope about what you're watching.
Well, I mean, that's why I like Black Panthers, because the stakes were a little bit lower. But this is the Avengers. This is the, you know, this is everybody. Of course, the universe has to be at stake here, because the universe was already at stake. It's just
it's bigger Spider-Man. Stakes. Spider-Man was small time too. I mean, the Spider-Man villain was a dad. He was doing it for his family. Like, again, that's my thing. If you don't like these movies, that's fine. But don't show that you have a glaring weakness of not understanding them and recognizing what they are. It's a new genre. It's a different world. Cinematic universes are something different. Marvel is its own genre. So if you're a fucking movie critic, I know it's The New Yorker, and I know that me saying all this is meaningless because it is The New Yorker. But, like, put some fucking effort into it, especially if you're going to be somebody who's featured on Rotten Tomatoes, who affects decisions that people make to go to the fucking movies. That's why I don't like Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's a useful resource, but when you put people like that who clearly don't understand or connect with the general audience, which, by the way, gave this movie a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a huge audience score, 4.6 out of 5 stars. Just, again, end rant. That just pisses me off. That pisses me off more than the Infinity War review, the fact that people like that influence who goes and sees movies. Like, that's a problem.
It's like he's comparing, like, the Super Bowl to, like, a regular season game. He's like, why all this pageantry? Why a halftime show during this big event? Why don't they do that in regular season games? Because you're a big, dumb, bearded fuck that looks like fucking Mandy Patinkin, you Richard Brody, you asshole.
Ooh, all right. All right. All right. Let's back this car slowly over the dog. I do want to add one thing, Jeff. If you don't like comic book movies in 2018, then you're a fucking nerd.
Yeah, that's so true. Yes, you are a fucking nerd.
See, how the tables are turned? If you don't like them, you're a nerd. Nerd.
Those were not fat nerds in my theater. That was everybody from all walks of life. People love this shit no matter who you are. If you don't like these movies, fucking nerd. It's a good point,
Trill. And I do disagree with Trill when he says, like, I do grade that against every other movie. This movie fucking ruled. Like, other movies rule. Like, Shape of Water blows compared to this. Oh,
yeah. Fair enough, dude. I just, like,
very fair.
I just have a hard time because, like, I want to say, like, I want to give it a 93 in the category in which it exists, but I don't want to give it a 93 and bounce it up against The Godfather and say it's, like, what, only 7 points different. Yeah. So it's difficult. But, like, again, Coley, this is very similar to, like, I think some of the takes that you guys have on your podcast, Mixtape, now streaming on Apple podcast platforms and other places where you can find podcasts, in that, you know, older athletes are not as good. I think newer movies just, like, rule harder. Yeah. Every movie made this year, like, get the better visual effects in there. They're more aesthetically pleasing. Like, you wouldn't have had this movie 20 years ago. It would have been Nicolas Cage jumping around in front of a green screen. Like, believe what it looked like, the Phantom Menace.
Let's get to the listener score, folks. This is the number one rated movie from our listeners so far in 2018. Listeners gave it a 92 out of 100. That's a huge score from our listeners. So across the board, everyone here gave this over a 90. Everyone loved it. Say what you want about comic movies, if you like them or not, this was a cinematic event of our lifetime. It really was. Like, recognize that as it was. I mean, it's the first of its kind.
Well, yeah.
It's going to potentially be the highest grossing movie of all time. It's going to have a shot at it. It's a cool moment. Like, I hope everyone got to enjoy it this past weekend, got to see it when it was a packed house, crazy theaters. It was cool. It's one of those ones you remember. You know, is it going to be the greatest movie of all time? Probably not. But for what it is, it was a blast. Spoilers, though. If you don't want this movie spoiled, first of all, what are you doing? Go see the movie. Stop right here. I'll splice in the time code.
To avoid spoilers for Avengers Infinity War, skip to 55:55.
All right, spoilers. Luckily, we covered a lot about Thanos already. So, spoilers, let's talk. We'll get to the ending in a second. Let's talk favorite scene from the movie. Mine, sorry if I'm you know, going to cuck your pick here, but Thanos, and by that I mean Thor arriving on Wakanda with Groot and Rocket on his shoulders, and then he's got the fucking axe, and then him and Groot and Rocket, like, that is, it's a bunch of different things. One, if you're seeing characters, and I know he met him earlier in the movie, but you just see characters that have been in all these movies for 10 years finally cross over like that, amazing. Theater lost its shit in all three screenings that I saw. All three times I went, the whole place went, no, I actually filmed the scene in the third time I went on my phone to save the reaction because it was so cool. That was my favorite scene by far. Like, I, huge smile on my face every time. It was just really, really cool. Tro, what was your favorite?
Oh, man, I was shocked by the Red Skull scene and the Gamora sacrifice. I thought, again, when we go back to the motivations of Thanos, like you're saying, like, he has motivations. You don't agree with him. He's definitely a madman, but at least there's some emotional levity. Even though, you know, some might say it's shallow to this character, it still is there. So that was one of my favorite scenes. And seeing Red Skull was kind of like, what? I didn't expect that.
Ken Jack, what about you?
I agree with you, Jeff, and I don't want to add too much onto what you already said because that was the best scene. I do disagree with Trillo. I actually, the least favorite scene to me, and I said this to Jeff every single time I watched it, is the Thanos and Gamora scene. And really? it added a ton of character to Thanos and it was important, but the way it was shot totally different from the rest of the movie. It was cinematically, like, it's almost like it was just a different director for that exact scene. There's all these weird, like, crossfades, and it threw me for an insane loop. And the soundtrack for it was, like, totally off base from the rest of the movie, too. It was literally like it was from a different movie and they just spliced it into that exact scene. And it really threw me off of the rest of the movie. And that's my one scene I really just despised from the movie, and everything else I fucking loved. But Thor landing, easily the top scene, because everyone fucking lost their shit. I've watched like 1,000 different reaction videos of it on YouTube. It's great.
Thor landing. I saw this movie by myself at like 11 in the morning on Friday. Like, there were other people in the theater, but it wasn't a packed house because people have jobs and school and whatnot. When he landed, I to myself went, let's fucking go, because it was incredible. I almost stood up like I was at like Rucker or something. But my favorite scene is the opening scene, because it was really important to show how powerful Thanos was with just one stone. Yeah. And he made Hulk tuck his tail and didn't come back the rest of the movie with that. He was like, I'm all good, guys. Like, you guys can get this one. The smart nerd that is my other half can take it from here. I'm all set.
Well, yeah, and that was cool too, because you saw his henchmen, or the children of Thanos, were actually more powerful or equally as powerful as like the villains from like some of the other MCU movies. Like, what was the main one? Maw, something Maw,
Ebony
Jeff?
Maw, yeah. Ebony,
yeah, yeah.
Ebony Maw.
That was an awesome character addition. Like, I loved his presence, but he was super powerful. And then you knew Thanos was like, how many times that? It's like ridiculous. So it's just a collection of all those great scenes. Like you said earlier, it really didn't feel like there were that many scenes. They're just all very epic.
The table setter, Coley, in the beginning with that scene was great, because it really... It showed you that shit was going to go down, like killing Heimdall, killing Loki. I mean, choking Loki out. I mean, talk about a death, like Gamora off the cliff. Yeah. Like, but you know, like you kind of expect that. I mean, he just wrung Loki's neck and killed him. And then he picked Thor up by the head, like a piece of trash. And then he beats the shit out of Hulk. Like that set the table for the movie. You're like, okay, shit, this guy, even with only one stone or now two stones, like this guy's only going to get even worse. So that was a great one. One of the best parts of the movie, though, too, is obviously the movie kind of tells like 5 or 6 different storylines, and they weave together, and somehow it works. Somehow that works, and it doesn't get boring at all, at least to me, in any parts. But every introduction, you just, if you're a fan of these movies, you kind of get chills. But even so, like the audience and the way people react is great. Like the first time you see Bucky, when Captain America comes out of the shadows and catches a spear, you're like, oh, shit, he's back. Or the times you see, you know, even Bruce Banner coming back and meeting up with everyone. The Guardians, when it first says, like, location, space, and they're singing.
Yeah. In you got the music, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And then, of course, I mean, Black Panther. The second loudest our theater got was when Captain America goes, I know a place. And all of a sudden you hear like the Wakandan drums going, and then it pans over to see the Black Panther. I mean, the Wakanda Forevers and the yelling in our theater were off the charts. So all of those scenes where you see the introduction, when the Guardians first meet up with Iron Man, Spider-Man, and that might've been my favorite line from the movie, was when Dr. Strange goes, who's your master? And he goes, what am I supposed to say? Jesus? That's what Star-Lord said. Yeah. So like they all played so well off each other. I even – the opening scene with Doctor Strange and Wong, too, where – and if you read the comics, which I don't, but I know this is a famous line because I look it up. Silver Surfer in the Infinity War comics says Thanos is coming, like terrified because he just got the shit kicked out of him. And when Hulk falls in, he goes, Thanos is coming. And then Doctor Strange says, who? And then that's the opening title card. I mean, there's just so much. Like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like a lot of times you see a movie, you're like, that was amazing. You see it again, you're like, okay, it was still cool. But each time you think about all the things that were spread about this movie, fantastic. However, the big thing that everyone talks about is the end of the movie. And if you don't know what happened and you're listening to this, Thanos has all the stones. He goes back in time and rips the soul or the mind stone out of Vision's head. He now has all the stones. Thor comes down with his axe, which somebody actually asked us in our questions. And I think we're going to get to our questions on Sunday, by the way, because we don't want to go too long today. There's just questions about like different things that people want answered from the movie. He has the axe because that's his way to beat Thanos. Like him just using his lightning through his body, like in Ragnarok, like, that's not going to do. He's got to like dagger him. And so he daggers him and he hits him in the chest. It looks like Thanos is going to die, but Thanos does the snap, which is a very famous thing in Marvel Comics, which basically wipes out half the universe. So all these characters die at the end of the movie. Black Panther dies. Peter Quill dies. Drax, Vision, Scarlet Witch, Falcon, Spider-Man, Black Panther. So all the new characters, you know, the new guard, the only ones surviving are the original Avengers, Rhodey, so War Machine, and then Nebula, and Rocket Raccoon. He's alive too. And also Okoye and, what's his face from Black Panther as well?
M'Baku,
yeah. So they're all alive. But, you know, all the new guard for the Avengers are dead. Thoughts, and then we can kind of wrap up spoilers and then get into the next Avengers. Thoughts on the deaths, because people have been a little critical. They're like, okay, well, they're all coming back. I have my theory. I have my thoughts. I can go last on this. Trill, what do you think? Was it necessary? Should they have killed Tony Stark? Which, again, we'll get into that in the Avengers 4 talk in a second, but I'll stop here. Lay it out there. The end of the movie, which was insanity.
I mean, I guess it makes sense in what we're going to talk about with the Avengers 4 and laying out a new movie. But I will say this. I mean, you said I got 0 out of 4 of my Deathpool picks correct. Like, so nobody I actually predicted would die actually died. So it did take me by surprise in that, like, yeah, people like Spider-Man bit it. I definitely did not see that coming. Now, you know, like you said, I think I have an idea of what they're going to do, and I think it makes sense, and it makes sense, like, from that theory, why certain people got killed and certain people didn't. But, I mean, we knew people were gonna die this movie, so that didn't come out of left field. But the way it happened, in the way, like, some of them were like Loki and died pre-Gauntlet, and the rest of the population just got snapped off the Earth, like the Happening or something like that. It's pretty wild.
They ever since the movie premiered, everyone involved at Marvel's been really harping on the word dead, to the point where it's like, all right, yeah, Loki got killed. Like, he just got strangled to death. Like, he's dead. I don't think anyone who got snapped out of there is like dead, like in the actual sense, because they all just kind of faded into oblivion. It's the hottest meme in the streets right now. But I don't know if we can count that like dead. Because I mean, we literally just saw him just like reach his hand out and rewind time. And I know that's not exactly how they're going to do it in Avengers 4, but we know they've already introduced the fact that, like, yeah, you can just reverse time. So, like, everything else that happens moving forward, and all those guys also have fucking movies coming out still. It's hard for me to buy that they died, especially like in Infinity Gauntlet. He does snap and all those guys still come back in that. So I did appreciate that he was on the farm at the end, because that was very important in the book, and it's an iconic scene, much like the snap. But I thought he was going to look a little bit more like, should I have done that? No, he had a big sheet-eating grin on his face. So he has no regrets as of right now, but I'm really hoping I'll save it for when we get to Avengers 4, what I was about to say.
I thought it was done awesome. I agree with Coley in that I don't think anyone who actually died from the snap will stay dead in the next one. I think that's it's like you said, it's telegraphed in the next movies and the sequels that the individual heroes have. And to me, it didn't take away from the movie at all. Like, I knew they're probably going to come back, and that still wasn't any less shocked or any less like emotional about it. I thought it was done expertly. I think that everything leading into it was like it very much you were. It made you feel like he was going to die and he wasn't going to get it done. Because like especially when Thor hits him with the axe, you're like, oh fuck, like he made it. And then like that scene was so well done. I think so dramatic, the snap of the fingers, and that line where he's like, "You should have gone for my head." It's fucking brilliant, in my opinion. It was so great.
And then he ducks out with the space stone, and now he's like he teases earlier in the movie. He wants to just sit and watch the sunset on a. Grateful universe. That's what he does. He smiles, goes to black, normal credits. Usually Marvel has these fancy ass credits, just black and white. And then the post credit scene, which will roll us into talking about Avengers 4. You see Maria Hill and you see Sam Jackson's character. I almost, why did I say Scarlet Witch? Oh my God. Nick Fury. Sorry. Nick Fury and Maria Hill, along with a lot of people, it looks like New York or DC, they disintegrate like all of other, you know, Thanos's victims. And then you see him drop his like pager, or, like his beeper thing, and you see the Captain Marvel logo appear, and that's the end. So that's a massive tease for that movie that comes out March. Obviously, Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out this summer. We didn't talk about the trailer before because we're going to touch on it next. I think you have to kill off the new guard here. Obviously, the old guard dying would have been, you know, the money shot. It would have been awesome. But at the same time, you don't want the new guard saving the old guard in the next movie. Like that just doesn't work for me because... Then in the end, the old guard is saved and you're left with everyone still. And you're like, okay, what the fuck was the point of that? Like, I thought we're moving on from them. So it has to be the new guard saving the old guard. Quickly, before we go into Avengers 4 for a few minutes, the winner of the Infinity War Death Pool, the email address is knellis or knellis24 at blank. I won't say it. You know who you are. Only 32 out of 5,000 people had 4 correct picks for deaths. Crazy, because a lot of people died who you wouldn't expect. K.N. Ellis had Gamora worth 1,400 points, Peter Quill worth 4,500 points, Black Panther worth 3,750, and then Spider-Man 1,250. So a total of 10,900 points blew away the competition. The next most was 7,250. So you won. You won a Weekly Planet t-shirt, an LCP t-shirt, and some Marvel merch. We'll get in contact with you. If you don't want to hear spoilers, potential spoilers for Avengers 4, skip out now. We'll put the time code in here.
To avoid spoilers for Avengers 4, skip to 55:55.
So here we go. Avengers 4. There have been some set photos. So again, if you didn't skip ahead, skip ahead. Though this is more speculation. So obviously, we all believe that time travel will be implemented into this movie. Yeah, Tony Stark could have died, but here's what we know about Avengers 4. Ant-Man and the Wasp is next. They go into the Quantum Realm, which is also what Doctor Strange has been in. And that's a place where you can figure out time travel. They're looking for Hank Pym's wife. And then Captain Marvel is also a very powerful person in this universe. She can potentially wield Infinity Stones, played by Brie Larson. That movie will take place in the 90s. Ant-Man and the Wasp takes place before Infinity War. So somehow those movies will converge and tie in to Avengers 4. But there's been Avengers 4 set photos, which looks like they went back in time to the Battle of New York. Because Captain America, Loki, and Thor all look like they did in the 2012 release of Avengers. Longer hair for Thor, Captain America's all buttoned up, has his old suit, and Loki's alive. However, there's two other characters in it. Ant-Man is in it. You didn't know Ant-Man back in the original Avengers. And Tony Stark has some gray hair. He looks exactly like he does in Infinity War. And they're all wearing watches. Like different watches to kind of figure out what time they're in. So it looks like they go back to the Battle of New York and Avengers. So what's the theory here? I mean, do they go back and do they kill Thanos before this all happens? Craziness. This movie could be set in the future too, because apparently Paul Rudd in the movie, his daughter, Ant-Man's daughter, was cast as an older character than she will be in Ant-Man and the Wasp. So this movie could take place like 5 years down the line and then they go back in time. So any theories here? My theory is I think they're going to go back and try to kill Thanos before it all starts, or warn Loki ahead of time so Loki's in on it in the beginning and tell him, hey, you die. You got to kill this guy.
I think it's going to involve like the Tesseract and how it goes back to Asgard at the end of Avengers 1 and maybe trying to set up like a 5-year long trap for Thanos to fall into, or, you know, something that was the premonition of Doctor Strange or whatever. I don't know the specifics, but Coley didn't even see the set photos and was right.
No, I'm looking at them now. I'm looking at them now.
But you were right, though, without even seeing them. It's got to involve time travel, and that's what the set and photos directly imply. Like, directly, pretty much. Like, not even, like, casually. It's just like, yeah, like, they are trying to replicate the Avengers, and they're all wearing fucking watches. So,
maybe they're movement watches because they're obviously thinking ahead if they're thinking that wisely, if they're, taking price ahead of and good quality and all
they're
those
cutting out the middlemen.
Exactly. They're cutting out the middlemen. Sorry, I forgot the ad read.
they're just sitting in Soho, watches. Anyone want some watches?
Yeah, I mean, it would make...
Saul season two is back. Saul, struggling attorney, and guess what? He represents the underdogs, and he's back to. Oh, sorry.
We have a new hero. Forget Green Lantern. Now we have Blue Apron here to save the entire world with affordable meals for the whole family.
Coley, though, you are onto it. I think you have the theory as well.
Well, it's like when they cut to in Infinity War, when Gamora was like a little girl and Thanos first got her, they had it looked like the attack on New York in the first one. It had like those same giant whale cockroach monsters. It was the exact same type of like demolition. And when the Tesseract opens up that hole in the sky, it seems to just cut a portal directly to like an army of Thanos. So it makes a lot of fucking sense that that's where they'd go back to.
That's my thing about it, is that obviously time travel is involved, but I also think that Captain Marvel is going to get her own Infinity Gauntlet. I think she's going to wield the stones, because Thanos' Infinity Gauntlet's a little burnt up right now, but I believe he still has the stones, even though it seems they're a little damaged. So we'll see. It looks like there's time travel, though. The potential here is pretty crazy. The things that they can go back and do. Captain Marvel's going to be involved. Hawkeye's going to be involved, probably as Ronin, which is R-O-N-I-N, not like the other Ronin character. I would just assume his wife dies and his kids die with the snap. So I think that's why he comes in. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp as well. So it's all going to connect, all going to tie in. But there's another theory that it also sounds like all the people who died in the snap are now trapped in the Soul Stone. So they're not technically dead. Their souls are in there, because you saw Gamora was a kid again right after the snap. And she's like, was it worth it? Or like, what was the price? And Thanos said, what did it cost? Everything. And so I think that's him in the Soul Stone seeing her. So we'll see. Lots to come. I mean, talk about anticipation. I didn't mind the cliffhanger. Was there anyone here upset about the cliffhanger? I thought it was perfectly done. Like, it wasn't like snap done. Like, it explained it. You saw his storyline was complete, at least for this storyline. And now the Avengers need to figure out how to undo that storyline. So, hey, perfect in my book.
Yeah, no problem here. It's like Empire Strikes Back, in a sense.
Yeah. So that's Infinity War. We have some questions from listeners, but we want to get to our villain draft here. We don't want to go too long for you. So we'll answer them on Sunday, along with, you know, our typical listener questions. There's a lot of questions. Does Aunt May just think Peter's on a field trip? What about animals and plant life? What happened to Scarlet Witch's accent? Which I need to see the movie again. They're really keen in on that. Where was Captain Marvel? We'll answer all of that on Sunday, because we want to break this up a little bit.
Scarlet Witch did just completely drop. She lived in like Luxembourg for a month, and all of a sudden she was speaking perfect English. It was a wild scene.
Yeah, I need to look at that again, because everyone's been pointing that out.
We didn't talk about Peter Dinklage at fucking all, and he crushed it.
Oh, yeah. The theater, I knew
Forge
he was in
pretty
it.
Fucking
I'm like,
cool.
Yeah, I'm like, oh god, that's Peter Dinklage. I looked over at Ken Jack, and also in the theater, the first showing laughed a lot. Every time he's on screen, they laughed. But I think it worked. It worked okay. It was a little jarring. It was a little jarring for me at first. It was like, oh boy.
But I loved it.
I dealt with it.
I loved it.
Very comic booky, so it works. Yeah. Villain draft when we come back on Lights Camera Podcast.
This is Gene Shalit with the New Yorker saying, more like Infinity Bore. Don't go see this movie, folks. Go buy Shape of Water on Blu-ray and watch that.
On VHS.
Wah! The Reddit commenter Wario is back. Wah!
Welcome everyone to the Comic Book Movie Correspondence Dinner. I am your host, Thanos. You know, there's a lot of turmoil between all of us right now, but it's nice to have a civilized conversation with all of Earth's mightiest heroes. And also Hawkeye. I mean, seriously, the guys that wrote his 2DS must have worse depth perception than Thor. Captain America is in the house tonight, Steve Rogers got frozen into ice while trying to defeat an evil European doctor. He's basically a virgin Austin Powers. Thanks to Tony Stark and his protege Spider-Man for stopping by tonight. Tony wooed Peter into working for him by gifting him a bunch of fancy new clothes. Tony, did you know that Daniel Day-Lewis actually studied you a lot while preparing for Phantom Thread? If you combine Tony and Peter, you'd get an awkward billionaire web designer that's always going to court because he doesn't understand his creation. And speaking of Zuckerberg, we have his close friend Vision in the house tonight. You know, a lot of the Avengers think that Vision is a dumb name. For example, some people have started calling him Viz or V. And Scarlet Witch has started calling him the most expensive sex toy she ever bought. Is Ant-Man here tonight? Anywhere? Just kidding, I'm not actually asking. I'm just mimicking what I was doing during Infinity War. Just kidding again, no one gives a fuck about me. You know when Ant-Man went subatomic, he was technically the smallest man ever? Thor must have been relieved for a few moments there. Is your hammer always so small, or were you just fighting frost giants? Teenage Groot made it out tonight. I find empathizing with Teen Groot hard because while he plays video games, he's missing a key component from my teenage years. Peter Parker is more my speed because at least he's homecoming. As celibate and illiterate as Groot is, Hulk is horny as hell. The guy just runs around yelling Hulk smash. Speaking of which, Black Widow, how are you doing? Legs and pelvis okay? While we're still talking about getting our rocks off, where's Korg? This is the guy where the phrase dumb as rocks came from. Wait, why are you booing? Why are you all booing? I'm a comedian, this is what I do. Stop booing. You can't boo me off stage. I'm Thanos. I'll kill you. I'll kill you all.
All right, here we go. Big time stuff here. Villain draft. There might be a post-credit scene at the end of this podcast, so this might not be it. Trill Bollins, you're going to have the first pick because you had the last pick for the hero draft. You're going to select a Marvel character first, then a DC character, a space movie villain, an action movie villain, a fantasy movie villain, a horror villain, and then an other category, as well as an eighth pick, a wild card pick. And then everyone will vote on who has the best team here. Trill Bollins, Marvel, first pick. Are you picking Thanos?
I'm picking Thanos. Let me give you my alternate pick, though. So I'm definitely picking Thanos. You got to pick him. I'm riding the hype train on Thanos. He's like Baker Mayfield right now. Thanos is so hot right now. Got to take him. If I didn't have the first pick, I would have selected the Juggernaut, but the YouTube animated series version where he's like, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. That one. But no, I'm taking
version too.
Yeah. But I'm taking Thanos. Taking Thanos. Done.
Even without a stone, he's fucking powerful anyway. So, I mean, he beat the shit out of the Hulk and he didn't even use the stone to do it.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know if I want him on my team. I don't even know if I want him with a stone. Because I just kind of want to keep him hungry.
Yeah. Okay. You pick Thanos. I have the next pick. I debated between Magneto and Ego the Living Planet. And I like the Fast Man, but I had to go with Kurt Russell here. It's a fucking planet, first of all. And I can house my team on this planet. So I'm going Ego the Living Planet. And it's from Guardians, so I don't have good music as well. So I'm going Ego the Living Planet. Coley, you're up next. Who's your Marvel?
Are we going like head to head? Because that may change my pick since you just picked a planet.
We're going to ask people to vote who has the best one.
Yeah. All right. Well, people are dumb. So I'm going to go with the more well-known villain here. And that's Dr. Doom. Mostly because Dr. Doom in his real life has punched Thanos' face clean off of his shoulders. So, yeah, I'm going Dr. Doom.
Didn't he remove Thanos' spine too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good pick. Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom is good.
Whenever they introduce him in movie form, I'm going to be front row center. I can't wait.
Not even the Fantastic Four version?
Yeah, that doesn't count. That's been wiped from my memory.
That's the problem. The problem is that Fantastic Four have been so bad, they've ruined a really great villain so far. So Dr. Doom for Coley. Ken Jack, Marvel, what's your pick?
I'm going from Thor Ragnarok, Hulk, for the 2 years that he was a gladiator murdering slaves for his own enjoyment, including poor Doug. He came very close to killing Thor too. So I think he was very evil for that 2 year period. So I'm going evil Hulk. He also, like I said, on the hero draft has a very large green penis. Moving on. Your pick, listeners.
Listeners, their Marvel pick. This one, man, Magneto was 3. They had Thanos number 1, Loki 4, Venom 5, Galactus 6, which Galactus is a massive pick. Even though Galactus in Fantastic Four was fucking terrible, terribly done. But they get the weakest pick out of them all. They have Eric Killmonger. No, no shot against ours. He's done for. I mean, Michael B. Jordan, great pick, but he's got no shot. Listeners, you're already... Well, actually, I'm just going to roll into the DC. So Marvel draws Thanos. I have Ego, the Living Planet. Coley has Dr. Doom. Kenjek has Hulk, the Gladiator version. Listeners have Eric Killmonger. Listeners, the DC pick. Lots of options here that are powerful, but not as many as Marvel because there's not been as many movies. The listeners pick the Joker, Heath Ledger version. So they're awesome. Just, I mean... I mean, you passed up a lot of really powerful people, but I respect it. So they pick the Joker. That's what you guys pick, the listeners, for DC. The Joker. Kenjek, who's your DC pick?
My DC pick is Dr. Manhattan. Some people might view him as a hero. I think many people, including many Vietnamese freedom fighters, may view him as a villain. The entire world post-frame job also definitely views him as a villain because they think he blew up New York. And he's also the most powerful being in the DC universe and the best equipped.
So if you didn't listen to our hero draft, Kenjek picked Dr. Manhattan as well for that and basically fucked the whole process because none of us had a chance after that. But I think this one we do have more of a chance. I know Dr. Manhattan's very powerful, but this one I think there's a few that might give him a run for his money. But okay, hey, you gave very good reasoning. I cannot dispute it. Coley, DC pick.
First of all, Joker's a terrible pick by the listeners because he's going to turn on your own team. Like, he's just he's a wild card. He's a loose cannon. You can't build a team around that guy. I assumed Kenjek was going to pick Dr. Manhattan because he's a jackass. So I'm going with the only, like, confirmed kill on Superman, which is Doomsday.
Good call.
That's pretty smart. Yeah, that's true. Doomsday is a good pick. Oh, I didn't even have him on my list. All right,
he was my number two, but Kenjek being a jackass made me pick my number two.
So I'm actually going to go with somebody that Superman killed. I'm going with Michael Shannon, General Zod. I need a Kryptonian. I need somebody who's, you know, a little up there, godlike. So I have to go with General Zod on this one. I could have gone with the older General Zod, but, you know, Michael Shannon's a good actor. So that's my pick. All right, Control Ballins, round it out. DC, you got the last pick.
I'm going with the British government from V from Vendetta. Just because they're really bad and it's a whole government. I feel like if I could get a bureaucratic structure around my stable of villains, it might be pretty cool and good.
All right. Creative. Hey, you can have creativity in this. But yeah. Okay, so actually I'll recap DC. Trill picks the British government from V from Vendetta. I picked General Zod from Man of Steel. Coley has Doomsday. Kenjek has Dr. Manhattan. And the listeners have Joker, Heath Ledger version. Space, Star Wars, Star Trek, other movies as well. Trebalans, who's your space pick?
Let me look at my list. So it's space / sci-fi, right?
Yeah. Space / sci-fi. Okay.
So I picked picked Akira / Tetsuo from the anime Akira.
Fuck?
Yeah. You never seen Akira?
No, Akira's in Ready Player One.
Yeah, well, he's super powerful because he gets injected with like this space parasite. I really feel like he was pretty fucking evil, and he can mess some stuff up. Although he dies at the end of that movie, which is kind of bad for my team.
Does he have any tentacles of any kind, or?
I don't know, dude. I mean, Akira's a classic though, so that's on my list. Yeah,
all right. Thanos, British government, Akira, that's your next pick. Space. I mean, this was tough. I have a lot of Star Wars characters. General Grievous, Emperor Palpatine, Boba Fett, Darth Maul. Kylo Ren was up there, but just I think he's a little too much of a loose cannon, so I'm going Darth Vader. I'm going the safe pick. I know. I have to go Darth. I need a
You stole my bit. Person. You knew my bit I was doing, and you ruined it.
All right, let me...
No, fuck his bit.
Yeah, you know what? No, this is how a draft works. You know, no NFL team gets to go, oh, you took our guy. You ruined our fucking bit. So, yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, I know what I'm doing. So, huh. All right.
Okay.
Huh.
All right. I picked Darth Vader. Coley, who's your space sci-fi pick?
I am I'm sticking in the Star Wars universe, and I'm taking the Sarlacc pit because I feel like Dr. Doom was going to cook up some fucking schemes and just throw people in a giant fucking pit full of teeth.
I'm just going to have Dr. Manhattan fuck the Sarlacc pit with his giant green dong. Yeah, blue dong.
Oh,
yo,
man.
Sarlacc tongue. Okay. The Sarlacc pit definitely gives good mouth. No question about it. Giant tongue.
So Sarlacc pit for Coley, which is I should have picked that maybe for Ego. I guess he could probably create one. Ken Jack, sci-fi space pick. I may have ruined your bit, but who are you taking here?
You did ruin my bit, you jackass. Fuck. I'm thinking about that fucking Sarlacc toppy now. Still, I'm gonna go with the Emperor. he's really bad. And number two, with him, I get to use the Death Star to blow up Ego. So, win-win situation.
Ooh,
for me.
Shit. And everyone on it.
The Death Star isn't a villain, though.
I get to use the Death Star. That's his equipment. Would you, if you pick like fucking any enemy with equipment, do you not get to use his equipment?
Wait, so who did you pick again? Palpatine?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that plays then. I wasn't listening. I thought you picked the Death Star.
You picked the fucking government, you asshole.
That was the villain in V for Vendetta, dude. No.
Would it not be John Hurt? Oh, whatever.
He was part of it. He was like, I don't know if I can make this analogy work. So let's pretend like I never brought it up.
So the listeners, their most voted on pick was Darth Vader. So this was an option, clearly as a joke for number two. The listeners' pick for space and sci-fi is Jar Jar Binks. That was their number two. So Jar Jar is on the team. Their next pick was Predator, then Darth Maul, then Kylo Ren, then Xenomorph. But Jar Jar Binks is a listener's pick for space and sci-fi. Not very good.
No, I like it.
Okay.
Jar Jar, he has cast a deciding vote to kill billions of people.
That's true. So Jar Jar from the listeners, Ken Jack as Emperor Palpatine, Coley as the Sarlacc pit, I have Darth Vader, Trebon says Akira. Listeners, action villains. The T-1000 is their pick. The T-1000, that's a good fucking pick right there. Much respect to that pick. Ken Jack, who's your action movie pick?
I want to offer you a trade really quick. Can I offer you my pick in the action draft and Emperor Palpatine for Darth Vader?
Who are you picking?
I don't need the action pick. I need Darth Vader. I will give you the action draft number two overall pick and the Emperor for Darth Vader right now.
Yeah, do it, dude. Anytime you can get Darth Vader for a number two pick, you gotta take it.
What do I get here? Do I get another pick in the space section?
No, you're getting my place in the action draft. You're getting a higher up pick, so you might not miss out on your pick.
It's not worth it for me. I don't know, because I'm losing a force user. You should have offered me this spot.
Gaining a better force user.
He's trying to make his dick joke work. So
okay, if I get Emperor Palpatine in the trade,
yeah, you get. That's what I said. You get Palpatine, and you get my second over. Right, you get my second
fine.
Pick.
There you go. Yeah, you get Darth Vader. The trade has been made. You get right. Darth Vader.
So you're up.
But okay, so for action, I'm going with the Terminator.
Which one?
Here's my next pick. I had T-1000. I don't know. Maybe the Terminator with the big cheeks in the new one.
The T-1000 is the shape-shifting Terminator played by Robert Patrick. So just got to specify.
Yeah,
so
not the T-8. The Arnie. The Arnie Terminator.
T-800. You want the T-800.
That's 800? All right. T-800.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure T-800.
Actually, no. Coley's up next. Coley, who's your action pick?
Trill, I'd like to propose a trade.
Okay, what's your trade?
I'll give up this pick.
You want the British government?
I want their resources. I don't want the government. I just want to be able to use their resources from time to time.
You're going to give me the pick?
No, I want your pick too in this. I still need a pick this round.
Okay. So yeah, you have limited use for the resources and we swap picks.
Excellent.
Fuck. Okay. Okay. Troll, you're up then.
I'm taking Hans Gruber from Die Hard just because I hate this category and he's the most noteworthy villain I can think of.
Yeah, this category stunk. This means Ken Jack's up next after the trade. Big trade.
All right, cool. Wait, is Coley not up now because they swapped?
No, I'm up after you.
After Coley, so yeah, you have
I had the last pick.
All right, cool. I'm going to go with the T-3000 then. That's the Jason Clark Terminator from Terminator Genesis that can morph into all sorts of different forms. And he's the ultimate killer. So I'm going T-3000, Jason Clark.
Oh, okay. Coley, who's your pick in the action category?
I went other here because this category did stink, as we've all said. I went Xerxes from 300.
Ooh. Oh, that's how it works. I like that.
Yeah.
He's got a big fucking army. Probably a hammer dick. So take that, Ken Jack.
does.
Oh, Bryle wait. Pierce, so wait, are you? It's like any dude with a piercing has a big dong, pretty much.
Probably Pierce, though.
The 300 Army. The 300 Army needs modern weapons. Is that why you took the British government's resources?
Ooh. You better believe it, friend.
Wow. Okay. That's fucking smart.
But all right. Whatever. That works.
Those fucking buyers are worse now. Damn.
I regret this trade. Although I still get used, just joint use of the resources of the British government from Vendetta that eventually gets blown up. But you know,
Xerxes' army is all dressed like fucking British royal guards outside of Buckingham Palace.
Big beef eater hats.
All right, action. I always forget to recap. Action category: Hans Gruber for Trill. I have the Terminator. Cole has Xerxes from 300. Ken Jack has T-3000. Listeners have T-1000. Trill, the fantasy category. Who is your first pick? Well, your only pick. Who's the first pick though in the fantasy round?
It's Sauron. So it's got to be Sauron, especially in eye form. If I can put him up there on Big Ben, in my central my central headquarters, then I think that'd be really cool. So yeah.
That is a good pick. All right, fantasy category for me. I had Dementor from Jingle All the Way. I really wanted him. Super Shredder. I'm debating between Megatron and Dementor. Oof. I can't pass up fucking Sinbad, man. Sinbad has to be on my team. I'm going Dementor from Jingle All the Way, the enemy of Turbo Man. That's my pick. It's tough not taking Megatron, but that's who I have to go with. Coley, who are you taking in the fantasy category?
I'm taking Megatron. I was going to take Sauron was the only other one I was even debating. Ooh. If those. So, yeah, Megatron, big time.
All right, Ken Jack.
So my pick here is Saruman. Christopher Lee was a sexy ass old man, and I want that smooth as butter voice. He's the only rival to Sauron in the entire universe, and at least he has a shape, and it's not like a fucking eyeball in the sky that can't even fight anyone. Bitch ass.
Oh, geez. Going right at Trill there.
I don't agree with that one. I think Sauron did enough to make life hard for Frodo from a distance.
You fucking got killed by Frodo.
I think he did enough to make it difficult for Frodo. Most villains don't win, dude. It's simple storytelling. The disadvantage here.
These are all losers in a sense, except for Thanos at this point. Listeners pick. They got their number one pick. Nobody took him. Voldemort, another loser. He loses too. Voldemort is the pick for the listeners. So they go with the Harry Potter character. Afuff Marshmallow Man not picked. Shredder, Super Shredder not picked as well. So the fantasy category listeners take Voldemort. Kendrick takes Saruman. Coley takes Megatron. I take Dementor from Jingle All the Way. And Troy Ballins takes Sauron. First pick for the listeners in the horror category. They had two good picks in a row, T-1000 and Voldemort. This pick stinks. I'm sorry, listeners. I love you, but I'm calling you out. They picked Hannibal Lecter.
Useless.
Yeah. Useless. The second Hannibal Lecter reaches the person he wants to do his Hannibaling to, one of our characters will shoot him or take him out. Like, he'll never get to the spot that he needs to be. I think that's a weak pick. Hannibal Lecter for the listeners. Ken Jack, who's your first pick in the horror round?
So I'm picking Dom Toretto in Fast 8, and many people think that this isn't a horror movie, and that's fair, but watching Dom turn on his family is like the scariest thing I've ever seen in any movie ever. So he's gonna be my wheelman in my villain team.
Okay. Dom Toretto, that's your horror pick. Coley, who's your horror pick?
You can ask, like, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, this isn't a horror pick. What are you doing? You can ask Eric Bledsoe how he feels about that. I'm thinking, Terry Rozier, because unlike Hannibal Lecter, he does get to his spot whenever he needs to. He's very shifty, and he's also from Youngstown, Ohio. And he's also affiliated. So I get all of his pals,
Ooh, smart. Okay.
You get literally smart. You get Marcus Smart on your team. That's even bigger than in actually having Rozier.
Yeah.
Scary Terry.
Yeah. So take that every you got. Sucks.
Just imagine Aaron Baines beating the shit out of Hannibal Lecter. Just beating the shit out of it. Okay. Scary Terry Rozier. My pick for the horror category, I'm going the videotape from The Ring. As long as I get that playing wherever you are, you're fucked. It's coming after you. So The Ring was the easy pick for me. It's something we have to implant onto your planet or your base into your VHS, which you may not have, but we'll burn some DVDs. So going the videotape from The Ring. Pro Ballins, are you going to get your first pick here in the horror category? This is your first choice available?
I got to add, Elvira was on the list, but she is not a villain, dude. Elvira is not a villain, I don't believe. My pick is the Babadook. I'm taking the Babadook from the movie Babadook. just because he's got that crazy top hat, and I just love the way that dude looks. I think he'll be he'll be a solid addition to my team. You know, the Babadook got a good catchphrase. You know, that's important when you're doing villainy stuff. Just to have your catchphrase.
All right, so Babadook is your pick. I picked Videotape from the Ring. Coy picked Scary Terry Rozier. Ken Jack picked Dom Toretto. The listeners picked Hannibal Lecter. Trebons, other category. Many movies to pick from. You have the first pick. Who are you going with?
I'm picking Gordon Gekko from the movie Wall Street and the movie Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps, and the movie Wall Street 3. So, okay, well, I guess sometimes money sleeps, and the movie Wall Street 4. Okay, money definitely does sleep. Gordon Gekko is one of the better Michael Douglas roles. The movie's very dated. Wall Street 1 is very dated. Wall Street 2 is even more dated, despite being made like 10 years ago. But I think he's a classic villain, and he can manage my finances pretty well until he gets indicted. Then at which point my whole operation is going down the tubes. But we'll get a good run out of it.
I like that pick. Gordon Gekko. I have a similar pick. I got to bankroll my team somehow. My hero team has Danny Ocean. My villain team has to have Terry Benedict. So Terry Benedict's going to bankroll my team. He's a villain. You know, he knows how to wrangle people up. He knows how to go after people. I'm picking Terry Benedict from Ocean's 11, 12, and 13. Coley, who's your other pick?
My other pick, many people would argue, is the biggest villain of all time. Violator, also known as the Devil from Spawn, played by John Leguizamo, which is always she should be in more stuff. I'm just going to say that. So, yeah, I got the Devil.
That's a good thing. I mean, that's the villain. That's the GOAT just villain, basically. Yeah. Ken Jack, other pick, who you got?
I'm going to go with Syndrome from The Incredibles. I love Syndrome. He's got a lot of money. He's got a cool-ass island. He's got it all. He's a man of many talents. He's smart. He's got that laser pointer thing. He's sort of like the Iron Man of The Incredibles universe, except he's just misunderstood.
Yeah, that is a good pick. I like that one. Okay, Syndrome. Listeners, their pick. Oh, man. I mean, this team is just, this is like a G League team, and we're the NBA. I'm just putting it this way, because the other pick from the listeners is Shooter McGavin. What is he going to play better golf than you? I mean, if this comes down to a golf tournament, they're going to win. But Shooter McGavin is the other pick from the listeners. All right, getting to our last round, but I'll recap that round. The other round, listeners have Shooter McGavin. Kendrick has Syndrome from The Incredibles. Coley has Violator, The Devil. I have Terry Benedict, and Trebons has Gordon Gekko. The wild card round, there's a lot of people available. Magneto, Loki, Bane, Ra's al Ghul, Darth Maul, Kylo Ren. Let's see, who else do you have? I mean, Shredder, Super Shredder, Pennywise, the shark from Jaws. It's a big pick, Trebons. Who's your wild card pick?
I'm taking the flock of geese from Sully.
Is that all you got?
No, I'm going to take Magneto because, I'm trying to win this vote here. Yeah, I need another powerful Marvel villain, which seemed to be more powerful than the DC villains, which are just like the you said a tweet the other day about like Batman standing up to Thanos, and somebody was like, Batman's been letting I forget what it said, but like the Joker run wild for 30 years in Gotham City. You can probably cut that part out.
I know a tweet you're referring to. Somebody said Batman could stand up to Thanos, and they're like, they've been letting the Joker run wild for 30 years. Like,
and red lipstick.
Yeah. I'm taking Magneto, not taking the geese from Sully.
That's a great pick. That's a great late round wild card pick there. The value is off the charts. My other pick, this was tough. I thought about Dr. Evil here, and I'm sure there's other people I could pick. I could pick Darth Maul and Kylo Ren, but I don't want him with the Emperor. So I'm going with the Winklevoss twins because I need some brains. I need some brains, and it's two of them. It's a two-piece right here. And Harry and Marv from Home Alone were my other picks, but they're fucking terrible. So these guys are geniuses. They're really strong, and it's two of them, and they're rich. So I'm going with the Winklevoss twins. Holy, I'm sorry I just ruined your pick, but who's your backup pick here?
I was going to take the Winklevoss twins and have them like buy the rest of Trill's British government, and it was just going to be a wrap. fuck.
There's some other rich people.
Pre-Bitcoin market crash.
Yeah, there are definitely some other rich people. The shark from Jaws is a very intriguing late-round value pick here. If you guys want to come to the ocean, then all of a sudden, boom, I got that on my side. But I'm going to go Marv from Sin City, Mickey Rourke's character, because he's going to steal all your coats after, like, the devil kills you. So we're going to be stealing all your coats. It's Patrice O'Neill's take his socks all over again, and there's nothing you guys can do to stop it. I'm sorry.
All right, Marv from Sin City. Ken Jack, who's your wild card pick?
The Grandmaster from Thor Ragnarok. I need Goldblum on my roster. Ooh. He's like going to be basically my leader of sorts. He's just a good bureaucrat. He's been ruling a planet for millions of years, so he's basically going to own Ego, more or less. Ego is wrecked. I have fucked up Ego so bad. Like, it's unbelievable, but it doesn't matter. Okay. But Grandmaster is my final pick.
All right, listeners, last pick. Going with the person most voted for out of everyone else. Now, they've lost a lot of them. Bane was in third. Predator was in second, but the wild card pick. And the listeners team is fantastic. It's a very funny team. Their wild card pick is Derek from Step Brothers.
That's a good one.
Quite the team. So let me read the teams and then we'll wrap this up. Trill Ballins, your team. Thanos, the British government from V for Vendetta. Akira, Hans Gruber, Sauron, the Babadook, Gordon Gekko, and Magneto. I have Ego, the Living Planet, General Zod, Emperor Palpatine, Terminator, Dementor from Jingle All the Way, the videotape from The Ring, Terry Benedict and the Winklevoss twins. Coley has Dr. Doom, Doomsday, the Sarlacc Pit from Return of the Jedi, Xerxes from 300, Megatron, the Boston Celtics, scary Terry Rozier, the Violator or the Devil, and Marv from Sin City, Kenjek, the Thor Ragnarok Hulk, Dr. Manhattan, Darth Vader, T-3000, Saruman, Dom Toretto, the villainous Dom Toretto, Syndrome from Incredibles, and the Grandmaster from Ragnarok. And the listeners team, this is quite the team right here. Eric Killmonger, the Heath Ledger Joker, Jar Jar Binks, the T-1000, Voldemort, Hannibal Lecter, Shooter McGavin, and Derek from Step Brothers. The T-1000 and Voldemort are like the two stars on a team of garbage, and they're going to have to carry the team there. They're going to be incredibly frustrated carrying that team.
But they're the Bucks.
They're Bucks. Strong teams. Yeah, exactly. They are the Milwaukee Bucks. These are good teams, though. I really think that it's going to be a competitive vote here. Though Dr. Manhattan really kind of ruins all this shit. So,
yeah, that doesn't seem like that should be allowed, but I don't have energy. I don't have the energy to argue that today. So it's your lucky day, Ken Jack.
It's ironic how you didn't have the energy when you were doing the hero draft either, but no, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Dr. Manhattan's more of a hero than a villain.
I tell that to the Vietnamese farmers that he obliterated, but I rest my case.
It's all about perspective.
I'm not here to argue.
Coley, thanks for coming on, man.
Of course, guys. Always. And literally anytime. Coley. And also, the devil would piece Dr. Manhattan. Wouldn't even be close.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh. Okay. I don't know about that.
Quickly, if people don't know where to find Mixtape, though I know we have very similar listeners, just let them know where to find Mixtape on social.
At Mixtape Show on Instagram, Twitter. I think we also have a Facebook page. I've never updated it, so if you follow that, you're not going to get a lot of content on there. But yeah, that's where we are.
Prime season to listen right now.
It is.
You guys did a draft day.
We did a draft day live watch that got rave reviews.
It was awesome.
It was a wild scene. Me and Tyler are going to Boston in the morning, actually. I might have to queue up a movie, like download it to my laptop and do another one of those, because it was just the easiest content that's ever been made. It should be illegal. It was like a Ricky Gervais stand-up set. It was just aping from someone else's work and just calling it your own. It was great.
It's very funny. And, of course, shout out to Tyler. It's very funny. He was on the podcast with you this past Sunday. So if you want to listen to the two of them on our pod, we missed Trill, but you guys filled in well. We had some pretty wild scenarios. Actually, Trill, before we leave, you didn't get to answer this one. Would you rather have Cheeto dust on your fingers that you can never wash off that gets everywhere? Or would you rather only ever be able to eat vegetables?
Only vegetables. I could do only vegetables for eternity, man. Wow. If you cook vegetables right, it's some delicious shit.
Okay.
The problem with vegetables, though, is you got to put a lot of effort into making them taste good. I don't want that Cheeto dust, though, man. There's nothing worse than Cheeto dust. Imagine trying to play Fortnite with Cheeto dust like all over your hands. Can't do that shit.
I feel like most people do play Fortnite with Cheeto dust.
But just imagine it.
Oh, man. All right. Next week, we're reviewing What are we reviewing next week? I actually have no idea. I feel pretty.
I feel pretty.
I feel pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, suck. Suck.
Yeah. And then I think we're reviewing something else after that. I forget, though. I don't know what it is. But I know we're reviewing on May 16th, Truth or Dare, which is still in theater. So definitely check that out. Another fun episode that will be as well. Reminder, there could be a post-credit scene at the end here, so stick around. For Coley, thanks for coming on. And Trill Ballins, Ken Jack as well. I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Sunday.
All right, good episode tonight, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, what the fuck? Why is my front door cracked open? Hello? Is someone there? What the fuck is that music?
Trill, Jeff, Ken Jack, what's going on, guys?
Whoa, hey, man, what's going on?
I'm putting a team together. It's time to talk.